Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the weather is magnificent, a great crisp fall afternoon, and the bottom's about to drop out in a couple of days, weather-wise. But also, the bottom is dropping out in the Obama administration in a number of areas. Now, obviously, the thing that is consuming Americans now is what's going on with the health care issue, but I do not believe that's the most important issue that's pressing us right now. I think that far more serious is what's happening in the Middle East. Now, you remember a year ago when Barack Obama was so enamored with the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, and that turned out to be very destructive. And then he had the red line in Syria and had his rear end handed to him by Vladimir Putin. He went to the G20 in St. Petersburg and lectured an Orthodox Christian nation on the virtues of anal intercourse for homosexuals, thinking that he was taking the moral high ground, alienating people by the millions, making the American nation look foolish, and now they are undermining the strength of our two biggest allies in the Middle East, Israel, and even Saudi Arabia and the Emirates, who are, although they don't like Israel, they certainly understand that Iran with a nuclear weapon is not something in their best interest. Now, Netanyahu absolutely went apoplectic, feeling like he has been lied to by President Obama and his lackey, John Kerry, as Secretary of State. Well, welcome to the club, Bibi Netanyahu. We all understand that in spades. Now, I want to bring my friend on the line. Richard, are you there?
I am here, Jack.
Good to talk to you. I know that it's a little bit colder up there in New England, but right. This is...
I'm getting some of the warmth from you. Thank you. My old friend.
Richard and I have been friends for a half a century, and the last time that we talked about the Middle East, and he has a perspective about Israel, and he's very passionate about Israel, as are our listeners. And I just want us to just start talking, you know, and going back and forth about what in the world is happening. When you have to be grateful for the courage of the French and be surprised at the indecisiveness of Americans, you know that the world is upside down, don't you, Richard?
Exactly. I think, as you pointed out, our president is really not on the same team as many of your listeners, and certainly not on our same team. It's kind of, without getting too incendiary, his politics don't reflect the best interest for America. It reminds me of, just recently there was a basketball game I saw it on television where one of the teammates got confused. This happens once in a while. and he shot an amazing basket. I mean, it was just like this from 40, 50 feet out, but it wasn't the wrong basket. It was in the other team's basket and scored 2 points for the other team. It is bizarre to see a president who seems to be working against the best interest of his own country. You know, you mentioned the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Clearly, that they stand for whatever wrong in the world and everything that's against Western thought and the survival of Western nations. Yet he supported them. We know there's a lot of connections between the Muslim Brotherhood and the advisors that are now being let into our government. So our president is very suspect, and a lot of people, as you and I have met, you know, are very passionate about him. And a lot of people, I don't think I've ever, you know, experienced such a disagreement amongst people in this country when it came to political leadership. I mean, you love him or you hate him. It's a very odd situation for America to be so divided. I mean, you have Republicans and Democrats, but people are so passionate about how they feel about our president, good and bad. And it is very uncomfortable for this country to be so divided.
The last time that we were this divided was in the late 60s and the early 70s over Vietnam.
That was an issue. That wasn't over a personality. That wasn't over a person with questionable background. It wasn't, you know, there are people, somebody could be delivering, something to your house, and you get into a conversation with this fellow, and he is apoplectic about how much he dislikes Obama for his background, for things he says and how he's done. And this is a person who's probably not the most educated necessarily, and whether he reads the papers every day or not, or listens to this station or that station, yet the highly educated people think he's the second coming. Some people feel in their gut a dislike for Obama, as I do. Some people can't even watch him on television. They have to change the channel. And I've never experienced this in my years.
Nor have I. The thing that is to me probably the most disturbing about him is, all presidents lie some, but this is like deceit on steroids, and they're, you know, from the time after the Benghazi attack, when he stood there in the Rose Garden, and then 4 weeks later to the world, lied about this, 2 weeks later, at the UN talking about, you know, it was this, you know,
movie.
YouTube video that was the cause of all this, knowing that that was a bald-faced lie, he and Hillary, but you know, he's the president now, and she's, you know, just hoping to be the next time. But
she's
right
waiting
now,
in the West Wing.
Yeah. And the people who are supportive of him never have called him to task about that deceitfulness. Now, here we have another example of it in what he has told Israel, our ally, and the Saudis, our allies.
Well, don't you think,
Emirates,
you know, when somebody has a sway over people's sense of logic and the truth, he takes on a sort of a dictatorial air, whether he is coming after you with soldiers or secret police. It's just that when people dispense with logic, you're leading yourself, you're going down a road. You know, more than half the country have this enamored with him, no matter what he does. That's what's so frightening. Some of the things that you're talking about are so transparent, and that people can rationalize that. I've heard people say, well, this country deserves what it gets because they voted for him. But then you got the other half of the country didn't vote for him. And it's really a terrible situation we have at hand. I don't think, from my perspective, this country has ever been in greater danger.
I agree with you. The, you know, his deceitfulness over the Obamacare is costing him poll numbers right now, because this is things that are, you know, that people see in black and white in front of them, that, you know, that their health care bill is doubling and tripling and they can't afford it, and the ones that they wanted no longer exist because, you know, they were regulated out of existence. And so they're caught in the crossfires, and they're hopping mad because he lied to them. And yeah, at the same time, this, you know, like, well, I'm sorry that people find themselves in this situation. And this is being touted as an apology for all of that, when there's no transparency about, I have been deceitful for years.
Yeah, but
people
will believe what they want to believe. Yes, I understand it's affecting their pocketbook, but I think most Americans are asleep. You give them cable television. I think cable television spells the demise of our culture. Because if you can give somebody 58 channels to choose from, a way to distract them from the real world, I think it's dangerous. And let me give you an example of what I'm saying. This is the liberal mind, you know, that really wants to believe something, whether it's true or not. They have a certain, you know, it makes them feel good. So I was talking to this woman who happened to be Jewish. She happened to be, I think she was an Israeli. So we're talking about the two-state solution. And I said, you know, I'm very nervous about this two-state solution because the Palestinians really have not bought into the notion that they're going to accept Israel on any terms.
And
she said, well, no, you've got to give it a chance. We can't go on like this. I said, well, I understand your point of view, but, you know, when you have suicide bombers, when you have people going into crowded places, you know, and blowing up innocent people, and then their deed is being celebrated, this is a culture that is so bereft of humanity. She looked at me and she thought, and I could see her brain contorting, trying to find an answer to this question, you know, putting a spotlight on the behavior of the downtrodden, you know, trying to rationalize. She comes back to me and she says, the Jews do it too. I said, what are you talking about? This is a Jewish woman. What do you mean the Jews do? The Jews don't blow themselves up. They don't blow themselves up in places that kill innocents. And then she said to me, what about Masada? Now, you know the story of Masada. The Jews committed suicide because they didn't want to be taken by the Romans. It's a story, it's a sad story. Right, this is a story, but this stupid woman, she found some reciprocity, she found some equality in an Arab full of hate committing suicide and taking innocents with them, and Jews, after a long siege, rather than being taken hostage, they commit suicide en masse. I mean, this is you say, well, it's illogical. It makes no sense. But she believed that was her rationale. So even Obama, so what's dangerous here, it's almost like Obama can do anything. As long as it's not a Republican doing it, you know, they're going to accept it. It's frightening.
You
know, it really scares me. Now, today, as you know, is Veterans Day. And it's sort of apt that we're talking. I have a son, as I told you, who's being deployed in 2 months to the Middle East. I'm very proud of him. He's in the Chemical Corps. He's one of the youngest commanders ever to go overseas. He has 120 people under him. He's only 26, and he's gung ho. And he's a very intelligent guy. He got a degree in chemical engineering. He just passed the bar. He's now a lawyer, and he's committed to his country. That's the other leg on his stool. You know that he wants to be. See who wants to support and fight for his country. This is a telling day for me. It's Veterans Day, because what are we talking about? When we talk about Iran and the looming threat of a country of crazies, doomsday weapon, do you wait? Do you take a chance that this is going? Do you take a chance that, are we a month away? Are we 2 days away? Do they have it tomorrow? Nobody really knows for sure. All we know is you got a crazy guy who is threatening, you know, on one side of his mouth, and he's schmoozing at the United Nations and winning favor with people who want to believe. To me, it's a fool's game. Somebody.
It is a fool's game. Yeah.
It's like taking. You have five daughters. And you want to do a good thing. You want to bring a convicted rapist and see if you can humanize him in your family, at their family dinners. You've got five young daughters. You bring a rapist into your house. I mean, you don't do that. You don't take a chance. You don't give a loaded gun to an insane person. You don't do it. And that's what Obama is betting. And he's betting not only an Israeli problem. It's a Western problem. You know, so here we have a military. My son is included now. I know you're a veteran. This is Veterans Day. This is what I think the military is all about. Now, I understand wars today are different, but I think there's a consensus out there. You know, if we had the right leader who would say it's time to do something about Iran, they have to stop talking and start doing. Either they dismantle it, or we're going to dismantle Iran, period. That's my view.
Here's the thing. This appeasement, which is exactly what this is, won't work. If it were not for the French, thank God for the French. If it weren't for the French, the road ahead for a nuclear weapon that would be used against Israel would be a clear path, thanks to Barack Hussein Obama. The United States...
And I think Barack almost relishes the idea that they have a bomb, because what it does, it minimizes America. That America does not, you know, everybody knows that Obama doesn't believe in the exceptionalism of this country. It bothers him, his whole background. You know, when you study his lineage and you study the mentoring that he got over the years, and the questions about who paid for his college education, questions that people who love him don't want to discuss or don't even care to know. They're not interested. They're willing to risk. And, you know, when I think about this country and having a commander-in-chief like Obama, and seeing the virtues of this country, the values of this country that were so they were fought over, and so much blood was shed for them. I think of the veterans.
Yeah.
I think of people whose families have lost loved ones in battle, not only recently but in the past, fighting for this country, and to think it's being squandered away by a man who has absolutely no, what I say, claim on this country, for the most part. I don't see it.
I don't either. And, you know, going back to this Jewish woman who said, what about Masada, which was in, you know, 30 years after Christ.
Right.
That's a long time ago. I've had similar conversations about the excesses of Islam and of the jihadists with people that say Christians are no better, and they point to the Inquisition,
right,
in Spain, which happened at the time of the discovery of the New World. So
right,
they have to go way back, and yet this is a justification in these people's minds, because they would rather do that than question the assumptions of this progressive worldview that have, for whatever reason, elevated Islam to something that it isn't, never was, never will be, and, you know, they are putting our nation at risk and definitely willing to have Israel wiped off the face of the map for the,
right.
you know...
Israel becomes expendable in the global
yes.
formula. You know, we're going to have peace in the world, but we're going to have to sacrifice Israel for that. This is like Jesus.
Israel is expendable
this is
to Barack
the
Obama
lamb.
And to John Kerry and to Hillary Clinton. That is true. Now, Israel is not expendable to you, and it is not expendable to me or to the Christian people in America that say, no damn way we're going to support that. Now, with that in mind, and knowing that that is their position, which is juxtaposed to us where we are firmly committed to the safety of Israel, that we pray for the safety of Israel, that we are supportive, and that we are grateful for the leadership of a strong man, a good man, somebody that you could dadgum well believe, like Benjamin Netanyahu, unlike Barack Hussein Obama, who lies through his, you know what, every single day. What can we do in for the next 3 years to survive and to help us help Israel? What can we do? Have you got any ideas? And this is an open question. If you don't have anything right now, we can talk about it again, because I want the people who pray for Israel to know what we can do and for us to do it and to stand.
Well, I think that what is most clear is that religion, you know, faith in your God, whether it be Christian or Jewish, it doesn't make any difference. But understanding the Bible gives you a better understanding of what the threat is today. We're talking about good versus evil. And unfortunately, as I said before, people with cable television, wedded to cable television, don't have lost the balance necessary to really see the world. And right now, unfortunately, both Christian and Jewish faiths are losing numbers. And religion is becoming less important to many people. And this plays into the demise of this country. There's still enough Christians and a small number of Jews who are willing and able to see the truth, aside from fighting for it, but to see the truth. But for those listeners who are, you know, aware of what we're talking about and support what we're talking about and wonder what they can do, I think going to the church and finding the strength in your belief, and then calling your senators or your congressmen or writing them letters and saying, we're for Israel, and we have to understand that we see Israel as the way for the Islamic world to destroy the United States. Because once Israel is destroyed, I think America will have lost its moral compass. It will never be able to rationalize. You know, if bombs are raining on Israel, chemical weapons, and worse, I don't think this country will ever be the same without Israel, because the Christians who understand the Bible will now realize that evil has won. And this will be a very, very, to recover from that, I think, your faith, at least in this country. Yeah, they'll have the faith in God, because we'll have, unfortunately, the evil will have won out. The numbers, and we and this country got what it deserved by being victimizing themselves, by believing in something they knew wasn't true, not being able to parse through, take the time to think about what real salvation, who are the real enemies, where is the evil in this world, People are not finding the time for these kind of questions because they're too busy switching channels.
Well, or probably on their iPhones and you know, just doing whatever they are doing, you know.
I mean, I have a kid. I have one kid who's going off to war with all this, you know, he got many medals before he went to goes off. But I have another kid who's got some issues, you know, he's got ADD and the like. And, you know, when he was going to school, he had a choice. He could either study or he could sit in front of his computer game and destroy a civilization in 20 minutes. Now, if you were a kid and you had these kind of toys, there would be no choice. Of course, you'd rather have this extraordinary, orgasmic, militaristic, as a guy, experience, fulfilling, and, you know, you could pick whatever kind of weapon you want. You compare that to going to school and working? So this is what's happened. The technology has erased a lot of the humanity. You know, and there's a fact, because a Philo just died, who was a scientist, 58-year-old guy who studied the effect of technology on, you know, on concentration and how people today are not, young kids today have lost the ability to focus on different things because their attention span has become so limited by technology. Mechanization, the technological advances that people herald as being so advanced, they may have advanced certain parts of society, but in terms of the moral compass, it's really sent it off kilter for many people. And so we are living, as Elie Wiesel said, I mentioned before, we are living in biblical times. And what listeners are thinking about there is a tremendous war being waged, good against evil. And that's what the Bible's all about.
That's exactly right. And one of the things that has become clear with this whole thing with, lessening the sanctions without them dismantling it, the enriched uranium potential, is that Barack Obama, de facto supportive of Iran having a nuclear weapon, that puts the United States on the wrong side. And this is something that has just become clear to Netanyahu, who believed that Obama was against it up until the last week. And this is why he's so upset, which you can see, because once there's a nuclear weapon, I just put a little post on Facebook yesterday where Iranian TV, they showed a little kind of cartoonish thing about what the assault on Israel would look like when they rain missiles down on them.
It had music too, background music, very very patriotic music, Iranian music, as the missiles went off. It was very well done, showing how they were going to.
It is very well done, and it makes people want to. I want to kill a Jew.
Because we're
going to
get away with it. We're going to get away with it.
And yeah. All right, listen, we're close to the end of this program, but this is the most critical good evil issue that I see.
Let me just add one thing, Jack.
Healthcare.
There's a book called Tipping Point, which I read. It had to do with marketing. A tipping point is when you reach the point of no return. If they get a nuclear weapon, and that means that nuclear weapons will proliferate amongst these dictators, it could be the tipping point for civilization as we know it.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I'm going to have to let us go there.
Letting our president run that show.
Because we're up. Yeah. We're out of time, Richard. And listen, let me say thank you. God bless you.
It's an honor to be among such wonderful people. Thank you. Thank you, Jack.
Bye. Bye-bye.